not really sure on that. Gerald, you might as well come sing with us. I mean, we're doing the jam session, right? Well, don't. I traveled alone upon its lonesome way. My burdens were heavy and dark was my day. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he had all of this time been looking for me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me. The road may be long to heaven's pearly gate, I know that it's narrow, I know that it's straight, but Jesus is there through eternity. We'll travel along, just Jesus and me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me. Forever I'll see of his great love for me. Forever I'll tell it on land and on sea. I'll stay by his side, contented I'll be for all of my life. It's Jesus and me. Oh, it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so till the end, it's Jesus and me. And so to the end, it's Jesus and me.
Chapter 9. To get started, I'm going to read just one verse, and then we'll go back and look at the passage that this came out of. "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." What a profound statement that was. "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asks. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The larger text starts back in verse 14. So let's go there. And as we go through, we can see the whole scene developing. And then we'll focus on just a couple of things from verse 23. At the foot of the mountain, they found a great crowd surrounding the other disciples. As some teachers of religious law were arguing with them, the crowd watched Jesus in awe as he came toward them, and they ran to greet him. "What is all this arguing about?" he asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son for you to heal him. He can't speak because he's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this evil spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground, makes him foam at the mouth, grind his teeth, and become rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you until you believe? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the father's boy. He replied, "Since he was very small. The evil spirit makes him fall into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us. Do something if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly replied, "I do believe, but help me not to doubt." When Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Spirit of deafness and muteness," he said, "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed, threw the boy into another violent convulsion, and left him. The boy lay there motionless. He appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd. "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Hallelujah. He wasn't dead. He was healed. Hallelujah. What an interesting passage of scripture. As verse 23 is there before us, it's really interesting that Jesus is taking the question or the statement that was made, "If you can, do something for him." And Jesus was throwing it back onto the people. The question was not of God's ability on this situation. It was on their ability to believe God. So I want to take a time, and it's not going to be a long message, and I know you've heard that before, but it's not going to be, and just break down two simple statements that come to us from this passage. The first one is, anything is possible. In the NIV, it says all things are possible. In the NLT that we read from, it says anything is possible. That Greek word that's used there means exactly what it says. Anything, including everything. In other words, there's nothing that is excluded in that statement. Any need that is out there that needs God to intervene and do something about, it's possible for that to be met. anything, anything, absolutely anything. And the word possible comes to us from an interesting word. It's the same root word, dunamis, that means power. And Rick Renner has a comment on this. It expresses the idea of ability, power, one who is able and capable, or one who is competent. This word emphatically tells us that there is a power that causes one to become able, capable, or competent for any task. When this explosive power comes on the scene and begins to operate in an individual's life, it doesn't matter how unfit or unqualified he or she was before, this power energizes them and makes them capable for the task before them. God doesn't always choose the qualified, but he does qualify those he chooses. So in this passage, what it's really telling us is that if there's something that you need to ask God to do that you can't do for yourself, God is able to do that. And if there's something that God has asked you to do that you feel unqualified to do, God has the ability to qualify you for that task. So either way, he's got this covered. And then it gives us the qualifier in this little passage of scripture. Anything is possible. That's not true for everybody, but it is to him that believes. Who is the person that can accomplish impossible things? It's the person who currently, right now, is believing God, who is reaching out and asking God to do something that is outside of our ability, but inside of God's ability. It's a person who is grabbing hold of what God has promised us. Dr. Peer, our president when we were at Faith School of Theology, used to tell us that faith is the hand that reaches out to God and never comes back empty. Hallelujah. God always responds to faith. That's how he operates. And when it comes to facing a situation that needs a miracle to make it happen, faith is the spark that ignites the impossible and causes it to become possible. On our grill, which I'm hoping I'll be able to get out in the next couple of weeks, put it on the deck, it's got a little thing called an igniter. So when I get that out, I reach down underneath of it and I turn on the gas, and then I look at the control panel and pick the lever that controls the right one. It says this is the one you use when you're first igniting it. I turn it on high, and then I press the igniter button. And all of a sudden, I've got gas. I've got fire. Hallelujah. I'm ready to cook. Faith works that way. Faith ignites the supernatural power of God, whether it's to be demonstrated with a miracle of healing or deliverance, or to equip us and empower us to accomplish something that is impossible. David, in his own power and strength, could not stand in front of a giant that was over 9 feet tall and outweighed him by probably 3 or 4 times. The spear that giant held was pretty close to David's total weight. But David wasn't there by himself. He shared a testimony earlier. By my God, I've taken care of a lion and I've taken care of a bear. And then he said this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them. Why? Because he believed God. He was not big enough to face that giant, but he had faith in a God who was. Amen. And today I want you to understand that anything is possible to him that believes. When we believe, we set in motion the supernatural power of God that enables someone to do what they normally could not do, or it releases God to do something that we can't do for ourselves. Anything is possible to him that believes. Hallelujah. How is this? Well, in Luke 1:37, it says, "For with God, nothing is impossible." So the God we serve knows no such thing as impossibilities. Everything is possible in the realm where he lives. And if we're trusting him, I want you to understand that we do not have to have this big, giant, perfect faith. The father in this situation, when Jesus spoke to him, he said, "I do believe, but help me not to doubt." So he didn't have a real strong faith. There was a little bit of faith. But Jesus said something during his ministry that helps us get this in perspective. If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, if I was holding a mustard seed up here between my fingers, you couldn't see it from where you're sitting. It's that small. If your faith is that small, it can still produce a great big miracle, because the size of your faith is not the important factor. The size of your God is. And beloved, today, you've heard it in the songs, you've heard a couple of reports. We have a great, big, wonderful God who knows nothing about impossibilities. And he loves to do things for us that demonstrate his power, because it strengthens our faith and helps us continue to want to serve him and live for him. So as we look through this passage, there's a couple of things I want you to see that are important points for us. Number one, anything that God asks me to do, I can do if I stay in faith. Did you hear that? Anything God asks me to do, I can do if I stay in faith. Wow. So if God asks you to do something, it may look impossible to you, but if you believe, he can do it. Glad that's not my phone. Just so that doesn't happen to me, I leave my phone in the truck when I come to church, because inevitably it's going to happen sometime, and I'm going to say, "Whose phone that is?" And then I'm going to realize it's coming out of my coat pocket. It's mine. So number one, anything God asks you to do, you can do if you stay in faith. Second thing, and I kind of feel that there may be someone here this morning, probably is, that is facing something that is an impossibility in your mind, something that is so big and so difficult. And that's the reason the Lord laid this message on my heart. It's for you. Anything that you ask God to do for you, he can do if you stay in faith. Anything. Anything. Financial miracle. Maybe you're facing a load of debt and there's no way you can get out from that naturally yourself. God can take care of it for you. He's a great, big, wonderful God. And the scripture says about him that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All he has to do is sell one or two of them. He can take care of your debt load. You remember what he did for the children of Israel? They had lived in Egypt and labored as slaves for a long, long time. Slaves don't make a lot of money. Hello? But when God was getting ready to take them out of the land of Egypt towards the promised land, he told them to do something. He said, "I want you to go to the Egyptians that you live around and ask them if you can borrow all these valuable things." And God gave them favor with their neighbors, and they gave them jewelry and gold and silver and all kinds of valuable things. And when they left Egypt, they took all of that wealth with them. Is that surprising? The scripture says that God has reserved the wealth of the wicked for the righteous. Amen. So when it comes to taking care of your needs, God has all kinds of wealthy people. All he needs to do is transfer the funds into your account. Amen. He's a big God and he's a loving God. So that mountain that you're facing, that mountain can be removed. That illness that a loved one is facing, that illness can be healed. It's not too hard for God. You read through the New Testament. Jesus healed all manner of sickness and disease. There was never a situation where he couldn't do something about a sickness that he was facing. And he's willing to do that in our generation today, that people's faith might be strengthened and that they would understand that God is still a God who heals. He's a miracle-working God. So this boils down to what is our part in this. Our part is to get our thinking in line with God's thinking so that I can believe him for the impossible. And how do we do that? This book reflects to us the way God thinks. And if this book says something that God can do, he can do it. I get my thinking in line with his thinking. When he said, all things are possible, and I'm facing something, that means that situation I am facing. So I get my thinking into alignment with God. This is something that Ruth and I had to practice when she was diagnosed with cancer. And I had no question about that diagnosis because I saw the cancer with my own eyes. And it hit us hard. We just never expected to hear those words coming into our family and into our home. But we started doing something every day, several times a day. We would pray the Lord's Prayer together. And then I would recite over her. I think some days I probably did it 6 or 12 times. From Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. And we recited that together, helping us to come in line with what God was thinking. And that's where faith operates. Faith always agrees with God. God can do it. We agree with him, we ask him to do it, and we believe, and because of it, nothing is impossible for people that are in faith. Can you say amen? So when that hard situation hits you, when someone comes into your house where it kind of cuts the legs right out from under you, gives you something that you never dreamed you would be hearing, stay in faith. Stay in agreement with what God says and believe him. He will take care of it for you. In that situation for us, we got a phone call from a good friend of ours, Kent Anderson. And Kent had been through some real, real trying times, but a strong believer in Christ. And it was on our 41st anniversary that we got a call from Kent. And he said, Mike, I'm asking you a favor. I'm in New Jersey on business. And I've been trying to get a hold of Lisa, that was his wife. She's not responding to her phone. We tried last night, normally on Monday night. That was when the college basketball championship was going on. And they're a big basketball family. And she wasn't answering her phone. The kids all tried to get her. Nobody could get her. Could you go see if you can find her at the house, see what's going on? So Ruth wasn't done from work yet. I said, as soon as I pick up Ruth, we'll head out there. I went and got Ruth. We drove up there. We looked in the garage. Her vehicle was in the garage. We tried the front door. It was locked. Rang the doorbell. No response. And then I remembered they have a dog kennel out back. They raise Vizsla pups. And one of us went out back to see she wasn't there. But then I remembered that they often left the back sliding door open. So we tried that. We got into the house. No one was there. It looked like someone had just eaten breakfast. No response. Went upstairs, turned to go into their bedroom, and there she was laying in bed, lifeless. I went over. I'm talking to the emergency dispatcher, and she said, "Are you going to try to resuscitate her?" And I said, I'll try if you think it's something I should do, but I said, she's already discolored and her body is already stiff. She had been gone for hours. And then, of course, while I'm there, the phone rings and it's Ken. Picked it up and I said, "Ken, it's not good." And he just started crying. He walked through that, stayed in faith through that whole time, shared a powerful testimony of God's grace. And it's this brother that's calling me now. And here's what he said, "Mike, I believe I have a word for you from the Lord." And I said, "Kent, what is it?" "God wants you to know that he's got this." Hallelujah. He's got this. Amen. Whatever you're facing, God's got it. He can take care of it. It's not beyond his ability. He can handle it. All you need to do is keep believing God, allowing your faith to line up with what his word says. And no matter what it is, did you hear that? No matter what it is, it may be an insurmountable mountain in your mind. It may have been something that medical science has said cannot happen. There's no cure. There's no help. There's nothing we can do. It doesn't matter. That does not tie the hand of God. Faith unties the hands of God and activates him to do everything within his ability. And you know what? There's nothing that's outside of his ability. And because he's a loving God and he loves you, he wants to work in your situation and work for your loved one to demonstrate his power on your behalf. Amen. So nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible with him. Just to back this up with two more verses to shore up your faith a little bit more. One from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 32, 17. "O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you." Creation reminds you. He made it all. Nothing is too difficult. There was nothing at all in this world when he spoke the first time. Out of nothing, he created everything that we have. In Matthew 19, 26, "With God, everything is possible." Everything is possible. Would you bow in a word of prayer with me? Hallelujah. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Is there someone here today you're facing something that in your mind is impossible? And maybe somebody's already told you it's impossible. It can't happen. It's not going to happen. Maybe you've got a loved one facing a terminal disease. Maybe you're facing an insurmountable financial situation. Just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. I'm facing one of those things. A couple of hands going up all around this congregation. Amen. God is able if you will stay in faith. Amen. As an act of faith, would you just stand up right where you are? I'm not going to call you to come down front. Just stand where you are. There's someone or something in your life that requires a miracle. God is the source of the miracle that you need. All you need to do is believe and keep on believing. Hallelujah. Ruth, would you come up here with me? And we're going to join our hands together. And in joining hands, we're coming into an agreement in our prayer. And you unite your hearts with us. Father, we come before you for everyone that is standing here this morning. Hallelujah. If it's a miracle of healing that is needed, you are the healer. And as we agree on the word of God that lets us know that you provided for our healing when you died on the cross, We thank you for that. We're asking that healing power be released in the name of Jesus. You told us that that would be one of the signs that would follow believers in the New Testament, that you would heal the sick, that you would raise the dead if necessary. God, whatever the situation is, we're asking you to step in. And Lord, we know that the individual we're praying for does not have to be here with us. You demonstrated that when you were here on earth, when a man came to you and had a need for his child, and you wanted to go to his house, and that man said, Lord, you don't have to come to my house. All you have to do is speak the word. This need will be taken care of. We're asking you right now, as we join our faith together, to speak the word of healing that's needed for this loved one. Jesus, others are facing insurmountable financial situations. God, you're a miracle worker. You can turn the water into wine. You can feed 10,000 with a little boy's lunch. You can take care of this situation. This is a puny thing in the eyes of God. But we're trusting you for a miracle to be released as we join our faith together with those who are standing. Whatever the need is, Lord, it's a need of deliverance. You're a God who can break any chain and set anyone free. It's not even beginning to stress your ability. So we trust you together, and we agree in faith for miracles to be activated and released on behalf of everyone that is standing up here in church today. We thank you for the power of God that's going to meet those needs. Only you can do it, but we believe you to do it. And we're asking you to do it right now. In Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We believe. We believe, Jesus. We believe nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible for those who believe. We're trusting you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to encourage